Welcome to Vacation Station, hosted by Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazines.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Big Blend Radio's second Friday food, wine, and travel writers show. Well, travel writers, I always keep saying that. It's a food, wine, travel show, but we get to chat with travel writers from around the world. Mm-hmm. This is our collaboration with the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association, an amazing organization. And I encourage you to go to their website, ifwtwa.org. And today we get to chat with an awesome travel writer. She's been around the world and she is also based in Lansing, Michigan. Her name is Amy Piper and you can follow her. Just followthepiper.com. Go check it out. But she's really going to give us an insight to Lansing, Michigan and talk about her new book that is coming out. It's 100 Things to Do in Lansing Before You Die. Nancy and I travel full time and last year got to step into Michigan for our first time. And
beautiful.
Dang, I wish we knew Amy before we went there because we would have seen a whole bunch more. And I wish this book was out, but at that time it wasn't. But everyone, it will be out on September 15th. Right now, I think we're pre-recording. It's out on September 15th. So you can pre-order this. I think this is airing September 10th. You can pre-order it on Amazon, but just followthepiper.com. So welcome, Amy. How are you?
I'm fine, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
Hey, Nancy, we are excited. We were hoping to be in Michigan when we were doing this interview with you, but unfortunately, you know, COVID has changed travel plans. We travel full time with and pet sitting and people we're going to sit for were going to South Africa and they couldn't do that right now. So we weren't going to be there, but reading your book, 100 Things to Do in Lansing Before You Die, I'm like, listen, it seems like you have four seasons of joy. And I think as we go into the fall and winter months, people may think that the Midwest, oh, it's all cold and don't go there in the fall or winter. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me from reading your book and even some of our own experiences, that we should maybe change our minds about that, that there are things to do.
Oh, definitely. Of course, there's indoor things in the way of museums and breweries and that type of thing. But fall is a wonderful time to come to Michigan because of the fall foliage and the beautiful leaf peeping and that kind of thing. So it's definitely a good time to come then. And for those people who enjoy winter activities, Michigan has lots of hiking and winter trails and sledding. I talk about in the book a place called Hawk Island, and it's a county park here in Lansing, and they have an actual sledding hill with a tow rope that will tow you to the top. And
I just want to get towed.
Yeah. And they make some snow. So it's,
oh, wow.
It's amazing for that. In the summer, they have a splash pad where you can run through these sprinkler things and get underneath a bucket and get water dumped on you and that kind of thing. A lot of the outdoor activities, they really make it a year-round activity.
Cool. That's very cool.
Yeah, we were in Madison, Wisconsin during the winter last year. And we learned about what it's like to live in snow and shovel snow and ice. Yeah. And it was like an interesting, and you know, we were there for all of December and a little bit into January. And I learned about that. And Nancy made me toddies to go out. And I learned that there's a toddy culture in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you're going to go and do snow, you might as well have a little toddy first. But I have to tell you, going back in spring too, it was like, I understand the importance of the snow that you get because the beauty that you get in spring is overwhelming. the gardens and everything we went to. And what I was reading in your book, that you have one of the oldest gardens, botanical gardens, in your neighborhood in Lansing.
We do. And there are gardens all over, not just the one at Michigan State University. When I talk about Lansing, I just like to be clear, this is the greater Lansing area. So I would say it's about a 25 to 30 mile radius that I might have included something within in the book. So you might catch some small towns, but the botanical garden is at Michigan State University, and they also have, if you have kids with you, the children's garden, the 4-H
nice
garden. And that almost was on the cover of the book, but it's in East Lansing, so I tried to switch that to the Capitol. But it's beautiful. Even in the early spring, I've gone there. They start with tulips, and they have all kinds of climbing structures. They have a tree house. They have an engine of a train. It's not a real train, but one that they constructed. And really neat things in that garden for the kids. They can... they have chimes that the kids can jump on and make music.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice. So
it's very interactive. Mm-hmm. They have a bridge over a little pond. And so there's lots of things to do there.
That's awesome.
One thing we got from your book is that Lansing is pretty central, that it seems like you could come in, pack, you know, get it for visitors as travelers. And I know you're a world traveler. You understand that you want to just kind of sometimes drop your bags in a place and be able to just venture out and know where you're, you know, just, you don't have to think about that again. As us traveling full time, we don't get that luxury sometimes, but it seems like Lansing, you just go in, get whatever hotel or wherever you're going to stay. And it seems like you've got some prominent ones in the downtown area that you'd want to stay in. There's a goose or something. We need to go stay in a goose.
the Wild Goose Inn in East Lansing. In downtown Lansing for years, the Radisson was the only hotel down there. And they just built this year a Marriott Courtyard. So there are two hotels now in downtown Lansing, plus another bed and breakfast that's in downtown. But in like the Eastwood Town Center, that area, there are a whole bunch, like, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 hotels that are all, you know, the big names. But Lansing is within 90 miles of 90% of the population of Michigan. So it is a perfect place to do exactly what you said. Come in, drop your bags, and then go out. So you could go in an hour and a half to downtown Detroit, spend the entire day there, come back, and the next day go an hour to Grand Rapids. And those are the two biggest cities in Michigan. And if you wanted to go an hour and a half or just a half an hour past Grand Rapids, you could end up in places like Holland, Michigan, and Saugatuck.
We did that. We did Grand Rapids and Saugatuck last year.
Those are all on that Lake Michigan coastline. And so if you're into wineries or that kind of thing, that West Coast is a perfect place.
What is going on with Michigan in regards to food and wine? And I mean, we have a friend who's a Cordon Bleu chef that just went back home to Michigan for a week with his mom. And he goes back every year. He's like, I have to go back to my roots there. And it helps his culinary skills back in Southern California. And we've done interviews with distilleries and tea people and ice wine people. And I mean, it just seems, and just us going there, there's this quality of life that the Midwest has as a whole, but like Michigan, I don't know, man, the food just, everything tastes better. I don't know what's going on, but what's going on?
Well, first, Michigan is second only to California in the diversity of crops. And so we have everything from grapes to sugar beets. So you get grape fudge. We have, we're known for apples, blueberries, and of course, cherries. The Cherry Festival is in, the National Cherry Festival in Traverse City is every July. So there's just such a wide diversity of fresh ingredients. And then there's a lot of farm culture here. So you get a lot of beef and that type of proteins raised. Oh, and another thing, the Great Lakes fish. And so you're going to get Lake Superior whitefish. You're going to get walleye, salmon, perch. So all of those fish also are part of our culture. So
And beer.
Okay. So Michigan, I think, is number 5 in the United States for beer.
Wow.
Grand Rapids is known as Beer City USA. So there's a great beer culture in Grand Rapids and in Michigan. In my book, I mention a lot of breweries.
Yes, you do. And I'm like, okay, I'm ready.
That's where I saw you did your research.
I know. I'm like, I'm all good with that. I was looking at you talking about shopping and fashion, and I'm going, there's a lot of food in the shopping part too. It just seems like the culinary experience in Lansing is amazing, but it's drawing on, like, you're, you know, when you're saying 90 miles away from everything, 90 miles from 90%, right, of the population, then it's really connected because it's really not that big of a state. Like, you know, we're used to California or, you know, Texas, which we've been floating around in. Michigan is accessible, and Lansing, Grand Rapids, we stayed in there, and amazing food, great gardens, like you were talking about, you know, earlier with the botanical garden in Lansing. But I love your state. Just bow down, number one. I want to go back. I'm so bummed we're not there. So next year we're making plans. I mean, we've done Michigan and Wisconsin and Indiana. Those were our Midwest. Oh, we did a little bit of Ohio, and then I love the Midwest, and I want more people to understand how beautiful the entire Midwest region is.
Yeah.
Because it's just this, like I said, quality of life. And when you go and you see even the winter time, which we've been in, it's just, everything is, it's just really pure. Like the seasons are really pure.
It's pristine.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it. So what are some of those places we can go to get that, like, beauty, you know, that pristineness I was talking about of nature? And where would you say go in Lansing? I mean, we travel full time documenting parks, especially. So we personally want to know about parks.
Okay. Well,
I know our audience does too.
Sleepy Hollow State Park is probably about 25 miles outside of Lansing. And that's in the book. We talk about it. And there's a lot of hiking and nature trails there. But that particular park you can camp in. People are regularly go from Lansing to this Sleepy Hollow State Park to camp and hike and fish. And all of those outdoor activities are at that state park. The thing that you want to remember about Michigan State Parks is you do need a recreation passport, which you can buy at the gate or you can buy it ahead online. So that gives you access to all of Michigan State Parks. And there's parks all over. But that one, if you're looking for a place to camp, if you're more of a camper than a hotel person or want to get away, that's a good place. We were talking about Holland earlier, and that has a beautiful Big Red Lighthouse. And people go there for camping and this stuff. And then
I wanted to touch on too the car culture, because I know Detroit's your neighbor, right? And you know, reading through your book is like the car thing is a big deal too in Lansing, right?
It is. It's not just Detroit. In Lansing, we have the REO's Transportation Museum.
The REO Wagon Speedway.
Yes. Well, I grew up an Oldsmobile gal because my father and my mother worked at Oldsmobile.
Oh, wow.
And in my day job, over the years, I worked with Oldsmobile as my customer. I was in IT as a program manager. And so I did a lot with Oldsmobile. And we have the only Oldsmobile museum in the world.
And, oh, wow.
And so.
Cool.
Yeah. So it has one of the first, there were four Oldsmobiles to roll off the line. And we have one of them on loan, permanent loan, if you will, from the Smithsonian Institute. And it's all behind glass and environmentally controlled.
Cool.
And so there's all kinds of everything. But anyway, one of the things that they have is the REO Speedwagon. And the band actually took both their name and their logo from the REO Speedwagon. REO stands for Ransom E. Olds. And so they took that name Speedwagon. And one style is the fire truck, the big bright red engine. Mm-hmm. And the other ones are just kind of standard cargo utility trucks from the old days.
I love those old trucks though.
Yeah. Riding along in my automobile.
Yeah. I know, it's awesome. And I love that REO Speedwagon, you know, you think about music, and we've done so many radio interviews with musicians out of the Midwest. And it's, I don't know what's going on, or, you know, it's cold and everybody starts writing during the cold, and then summertime, they're ready, like, let's rock, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on, but you guys have some amazing music going on. What's it like in regards to the music scene in Lansing and the entertainment scene?
Well, it's great, especially in the summer. You can go to a free concert every night of the week almost in and around Lansing. They have generally, they start between 6 and 7, and every night it's a different place. So Lake Lansing area, they have a place where it's a park, and you go and you take your lawn chairs, and they have a music. There's the Eastwood Town Center is another place on Tuesday nights, I believe it is. They have their concerts. So every night, really, you can go and hear something different somewhere different.
That's cool.
And then a lot of the breweries have concerts. There's a brewery here called Eagle Monk Brewery. Mm-hmm. Oh. And on a Thursday night, they have a beer garden. And so you can go there and listen to one of their bands.
Sounds good to me. Excuse me. Yeah, breweries and music. That sounds like my
hand in hand.
Personally, for me, you know, that's like I'm all in for that. So you've got a lot of shopping too. So tell us when you think about Lansing, what's the downtown like? Do you have like a historic downtown?
Well, the downtown is not, it's more offices nowadays. But it is historic. We have a lot of museums within a 5-block radius. There are 5 museums.
Wow.
They appeal to a variety of people. So there's the Ariel Transportation Museum, and then right next door is Impression 5 Museum. And that refers to the five senses. Well, it's called a science center, actually. I should be
cool.
And so you can take your kids and your grandkids and go there, and it's very interactive.
Nice.
They have one that's exhibit that's about a water flow and paddle wheel, and there's just different water activities. There's one where it's a pitching, throwing your ball. So you there's different activities depending on the age group. And I mean, they have activities for as young as 6 months old, kids who are crawling all the way through adults.
Nice.
That's neat. And you're a capital city, which is something we actively cover. I know everyone, this is the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association show, but you're talking about a capital city, and we cover that actively. And what we do is we're trying to actually visit and document every capital city in the country. And we didn't get there. We didn't get to Lansing yet. But this is interesting to me because there's some, you know, during COVID, I know it changes up and down, and we're still in that weird world of what's open and what's closed. But capital cities and going to the Capitol building to me is something really important. It's always interesting to find out how a city was actually made into, why was it the capital? Why was it made the capital city? You know, and the Capitol building is just that iconic structure where everybody groups around, you know, and things happen. I mean, we're in a political season of, you know, I feel like we'll be in it forever, but it's important to understand the city that things, where change is being made.
Well, and in Michigan, the Capitol building is very special, if you will. First of all, Michigan is the only capital in the United States that the capital city is not the county seat.
So yeah, I was reading that. That's different. Yeah.
So our county seat is nearby. And in fact, there's a courthouse there that's in the book, the Ingham County Courthouse. But the state capitol is almost a work of art. If you go in, of course, on the cover of the book, you see the inside of the dome. But really, if you look at the hinges on the doors, it has the state seal.
Oh, wow.
All of that on the hinges. They have chandeliers that are made of antlers. And if you look at it, you think that, oh, that it's very expensive wood, walnut and marble. And you think, oh, this is very, very expensive. But they did it very economically. All of that is pretty much a paint job. The walnut is really pine. The marble is some other type of material that's not really marble. But
no really way.
And tell. No. Yes. Yes.
Oh, wow. So that is, you got to go just funny. For that.
Yeah. Just, yeah.
It's, you could, it's like how to do your house.
And.
Oh my God.
The architect.
No, but that's cool. But that's cool.
It's cool
because listen, we all look about how much money are we spending on things versus the people, right? And
right.
And our, where do you want your money to go to? Do you care about marble versus, you know, do we want that money to go to the people of the state?
Right. And so it's a very unusual situation there, and it's beautiful. They have guided tours that are free of charge. And the Capitol is a great place to go, because if you're looking for economical things to do, the tour's free, entrance is free, all of those things are free. They have the Michigan History Museum, which is also one of the five downtown within the area block. And that is free on Sundays. They have free parking. And the other thing about Lansing in general is you have a lot of the benefits of the bigger towns. You have the Broad Art Museum. You have the Wharton Center. You have all of these big city types of things, but you don't have the traffic. You don't have...
All right, I'm coming. Because everybody's woken up and the traffic's back. I'm coming to Lansing.
The traffic sucks.
The traffic sucks. It's back again. Yeah, I'm coming to Lansing then.
I mean, if you go somewhere right at 5 o'clock, you might run into a little bit of something. But as a general rule, you'll rarely find bumper to bumper.
Wow. It's interesting. And to me, it's like, how many people do you think live in Lansing, actually? Do you know? Greater area, yeah.
The larger area, I think, within that 30-mile radius, I think someone had said that it's almost 1 million now. But if you just look at Lansing proper, it's around, I think, 200,000.
Yeah, so that's kind of like when we lived in Tucson, it's like 1 million. You would never feel it because it's so spread out, you know? Yeah. The way that city is, but
if you look at just Lansing, it's 200,000.
Oh, that's not a lot for a city.
Yeah,
at all. Oh. But the neighborhoods and everything. But you know, it's interesting when you talk about what's family friendly. That's important, especially when you think about going to state capital. I think that's really great for kids to get that understanding early, and it may seem boring to them. You know, and even for some adults to go to the Capitol, but it's really not once you get in there. And the story you're telling us, Nancy's like, oh no, what a fake out. But it's fascinating. You've got a really cool
interesting.
I want to go and find out
history.
What I want to go there just to find out, like, how did they do that? Because it's economical. It's interesting, but there's to understand how a country runs, I think it's very important. And for families to be able to afford it, that's an affordability thing. And the more families have things to go to, the better.
Yeah.
Affordability wise.
There's another thing that is in downtown Lansing that I can't remember the exact name as far as the proper name, but it's the judicial courthouse, and it's a museum where you go in and you actually, it's a Supreme Court type of thing for Michigan, but I was trying to find the name of it exactly. Have your day in court at the Michigan Supreme Court Learning Center. It's called
the Learning Center.
That's what I was trying to get to. And you go in and they have all kinds of different interactive activities that they take you through to learn about how government works.
That's a good thing to try to explain right now. Yeah.
and it's free. I mean, there's so many things that, like, even the REO Transportation Museum is not free, but it's got a price tag of $7 for admission per person.
That's as I'm saying, what's cost effective for families. That's important. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, that's great that there's.
Oh, and I think they have a family rate where it's even cheaper if you have like a whole family.
Yeah. A lot of them do that where it's like it's bundled sometimes and things like that, you know, like botanical gardens do that. Now you have zoos. We don't normally talk about zoos because we want animals to be free, but this is a unique example of a zoo doing something very cool. And that is taking care of the black rhinos. And that's something that is it's rare. I mean, they're so extinct.
Well,
you're not going to see them unless you're David Attenborough at this point.
Well, actually, and it's funny because I am very big into photography, and I went on a photo safari to Tanzania. Mm. And, one of the big things was, were we going to see a black rhino? And we did, but then, you know, we have that right here in our in our town, and the rhino had a baby. So it was a couple, 3 years ago. I don't know how many years ago, but so we've got two now. And
That's awesome. It's awesome that you saw them in Tanzania. We still live in Kenya, right around the corner. So that's the other thing I want to ask about this, like your travel adventures. You're talking about working with Oldsmobile, or the Oldsmobile being a customer, and you know, going from Lansing, Michigan, that you started world traveling, and you've had some adventures for sure traveling around the world. What got you into the world of travel?
Well, I ended up in my day job. I had to travel all around the world for various assignments. They were always looking. I've always loved travel, and they were always looking for somebody to raise their hand. So I spent 6 months in South Korea. I spent 6 months in Argentina, a month in India, 3 months in Spain. So I was always going and going. Well, while I was in Argentina, of course, when you're on these assignments and your family doesn't come, I mean, they would come for a week or two and then they'd be gone again. And so you had to find things to do. And so somehow on the internet, I found this travel writing workshop, and I ended up 5 years ago, I first took their kind of at-home course. And then 5 years ago, I went to Great Escape Publishing's Ultimate Travel Writing Workshop. Right. Mm-hmm. And I went to that, and they had at the end of it a 30-day challenge. It was just a weekend, three-day course, I think. And at the end of that, they had a 30-day challenge. Go get yourself published in 30 days. Well, I've got close to 200 articles published now in the last 5 years. I have this book and a chapter in an anthology book, and I have regular freelance writing gigs of places that I write for regularly, and it's all happened in 5 years while I am still having my day job trying to retire.
Wow. And so the anthology, you've got that book so everyone can see that. I was reading that on your blog too. I mean, you're busy. Oh, we can't see it. Okay. Tell everybody what it is.
Oh, there it went.
It went in and out. We've got that weird background thing. What's it called?
It's called Midwest Road Trip Adventures.
Oh, there it is. There you go. Midwest. Okay. So where was your road trip adventure to?
Okay. So this book had, there are 12 Midwest states. So we had each state written by authors that live in the state. And I was invited to write the Michigan chapter. And the assignment was to choose four road trips within your state that you wanted to showcase. Now, with Michigan, I'm always sensitive to the fact that we have an upper peninsula. So I chose one in the upper peninsula. And then I did the West Coast, the East Coast, and then one that it intersected through the middle. But Michigan has, I think the numbers are 23, but in the 20s of byways, Michigan scenic byways.
It's beautiful. I mean, where we were driving, I mean, it's incredible. Like when we went through Saugatuck and that whole, I think it's Douglas next, or
Douglas,
and that whole area. And then we ended up in this area where we're just watching boats, and then there's the sand dunes, and then and Grand Rapids was beautiful too. I mean, there's interesting history there and historic neighborhoods that you don't see. We're from the West, you know. So this was like a night and day, like, what, this is completely different, and it's beautiful. The neighborhoods to me are part of the scenery. They
have a lot of like little neighborhood restaurants and
seems like it is like neighborhoody, you know what I mean? I think it's because of the snow that you can't go that far, so you're just gonna get to the,
you have to walk,
you're gonna walk through the snow to the neighborhood bar. It's like England's like that, you know. I think that's what it is. But that's cool that you've traveled so much, so you're still balancing everything. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be ready to retire in probably the next year or so. And we'll see what happens.
Wow.
So there's so much to write about and explore, and new opportunities come. So
I want to ask you this. Okay. So you got Lansing, 100 things to do, right? And we're thinking about winter, and I'm just going there because we're in summer now. We're at the end of summer as we record, and when this airs, it'll be almost fall, but going into now winter. I want to know, what is your thing to do that you enjoy in the winter in Lansing?
Well, if you're talking about outdoor activities, I'm
anything,
not,
whatever I'm you want to do.
Much of an outdoor girl, but I like to take in the art museums. We have the Broad, and in East Lansing, which Edith and Eli Broad created this museum, and they have a similar one that they've created in Los Angeles. But we were talking about free things. One day I went there and someone was standing at the door and they were waiting for their friends from New York. And they were so excited to show off our Broad Museum because she said, this is every bit as good as the New York museums and it's free.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very interesting from an architectural perspective. It's the outside of the building almost looks like accordion style pleating.
Oh, and yeah. We saw that photo in your book. Is that the one?
Yeah.
That's the one. Yeah. That's neat. And
so there are no right angles, and it's just, it's very cool. Every time you go there, there's something new because they're always rotating exhibits. And it's not just painting and media. There are videos and all of that kind of art too. So,
oh, wow. So it's about the art. There's always something. And that's what I would say. The Midwest has some magical. Now, what would you do in spring? What would you do?
Well, I the first thing I usually do is go out to the children's garden because the tulips are there and it's colorful and that kind of thing.
The color, like when we were in Madison, Wisconsin, I know it's a neighboring state, but it's kind of all I know is after the snow, when we saw spring happen, I was just like, this is intense. Like, don't mess with the Midwest with spring. That's intense. Yeah.
We're excited to get out.
Yeah, and it's beautiful.
And
it's beautiful.
When we're talking about winter, I don't know so much winter itself, but more of a holiday. The book, the children's book, The Polar Express.
Oh, yeah.
Was based on this steam train. And in, I believe it's Owosso is the title of, or the name of the town. But they have this where they, at the holiday time, they take and take you on a train ride. And then the kids can ride the Polar Express. And then they stop in a little town and you can do a little bit of Christmas shopping. They have like vendors and stalls and
how fun.
Sellers set up there. And then you take the train ride back.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun. Yeah. I love it. I love it. Amy Piper, thank you for joining us. Everyone,
yes,
again,
you
got to follow the Piper. Just go to follow the Piper. Is it? Am I getting it right? Followthepiper.com, and also the book is it is the ultimate Lansing bucket list. It's 100 things to do in Lansing before you die. Oh my God, you don't want to die, but there's a bucket list for you. And we want to thank the International Food Wine Travel Writers Association. We love our second Tuesday and second Friday shows with them. Don't forget, they have a conference coming up, their annual conference this year over in St. Petersburg, Florida. It's November 8th through 11th. And so if you're a food wine travel writer destination, you don't even have to be a member to join this conference. You want to check it out. Go to ifwtwa.org. And of course, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. We have our shows Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you so much, Amy.
Thanks.
I hope we get to meet you when we get to Michigan again. Hopefully next year. I think it'll be next year. Because we're going to be up in Washington, and then our thing is to go across the top and drop down. So we'll drop down into Michigan. How about that?
Definitely. I'll be your tour guide.
Awesome. Cool. Awesome.
Awesome. Thank you.
I want to go on the Pony Express.
That'll be the wrong time of year.
The polar. Do they have the train going even if it's not winter?
I call it
the Pony Express.
I would have to check. I think they might have a special occasion type of thing.
Well, we are a special occasion.
Yeah, we are. Just tell them we are.
Occasion. We want to come. I'm just kidding. But no, I want to go on the Polar Express. I'm calling it the Pony Express. Polar. I know. We're following the Pony Express and a lot of things we're doing. So I'm like still stuck in that. But
well, we could do the Polar Express and drop down and finish it with the Pony Express.
No, it's going across on the pony and dropping down to the Polar. Let's get it straight. All right, Amy. Thank you so much. We'll take care.
Bye-bye.